proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton. I want to thank you for joining me today. Now today I'd like to share with you another Hebrew nugget. Now this is a Hebrew word study, and this material is provided by our dear friend in ministry, Jackie Powell. Now you can find this transcript, as well as other valuable Hebrew study resources, at her website, lightforisrael.org. Now then, let's dig into this lesson. The Torah portion for today is a favorite of mine because of what F.B. Meyer wrote about God's appearance to Moses at the burning bush. Here are his words. There are days in all lives which come unannounced, unheralded, but as we look back on them, we realize that they were the turning points of existence. Quite ordinary was the morning as it broke. The sun rose as usual in a dull haze over the expanse of sand. The sheep lay panting beneath the shadow of a great rock, but there was nothing in their behavior to excite the thought that God was nigh. These things were as they had been for 40 years, after Moses had sunk into an obscure and forgotten grave. Then, suddenly, a common bush began to shine with the emblem of deity, and from its heart of fire the voice of God broke the silence of the ages in words that fell on the shepherd's ear like a double knock, "Moses! Moses!" And from that moment, all his life was altered. Now, as we think about F.B. Meyer's words, we remember that God's appearance to Moses in the burning bush is indeed a timeless story. Now, let's focus on the geographical aspect of the story. According to Dr. Jonathan Lipnick, he said, "The physical setting of the Bible plays a major role in the theology of the Bible. To understand the God of the Hebrew Bible, you must understand the place where he has that relationship with his people." This scene of Moses and the burning bush occurred in the desert of Midian, according to Exodus 2, verse 15. This is where he had lived as a shepherd for 40 years since fleeing Egypt. Even then, God was preparing him for this day. The Hebrew word for desert is midbar, which is often translated as wilderness in our Bibles, but keep in mind it is the desert. Scripture indicates that the midbar, or desert, is a setting for many of the Bible narratives and often God's choice to speak to his servants and to give them a greater vision either of himself or of the work that he has for them to do. The desert is generally a still and quiet place. Here, Moses wrote the foundation of the Tanakh, as well as David, who wrote many of the Psalms. Now, the Hebrew word for speak is the present tense, medaber, and has the same shoresh, or root, as the Hebrew word midbar, desert. The Hebrew letters would be mem, dalet, bet, resh. However, I think it is most amazing that the same Hebrew letters are used for two words that at first seem so different, the desert being a place where normally you do not hear people speaking. But from the Bible narratives, it seems that God speaks the most in the desert. It is not that God is more real in the desert than in other places, because God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. It is just as we are so easily distracted from knowing God due to the many distractions of life. In the desert, we detach from the noisiness of everyday life and can now focus on God. It is then God can speak to our heart. Moses is one of the greatest servants of God. I think it is amazing that God spent 40 years quieting Moses' heart in the desert before he spoke to him. We have been speaking of literal deserts in the land of Israel, but maybe we today feel like we are in a desert of sorts in the circumstances of our personal life. If we find ourselves in a desert of God's making, let us not fret, but rather rejoice that God is wanting to speak to us. Perhaps he has a new path for our life to take. Or perhaps he wants to confirm our current path. Regardless, if we maintain a quiet heart like Moses did, I am sure we will hear God's word to us. Now there's much to learn here as we remember Moses at the burning bush, because literally in the wilderness, God speaks. Now, let's take these words to heart today. As we remember this, let's remember to pray for the Jewish people and pray that God will show them his truth and his light, and may we be carriers of that light for him. Now, this has been a Hebrew Nugget that's been provided by our good friend in ministry, Jackie Powell. Now, you can read more of this and other transcripts at lightforisrael.org, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you today, my friend. Now, with that, let's now turn our attention to our good friend and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible lesson.
Thank you for joining our radio broadcast. In this section, we will look at Psalms where the writers thanked God because he rescued them from various perils. In a number of such cases, they expressed their gratitude to him even before he acted on their behalf. Several of these Psalms of Deliverance came from the pen of David. During the early portion of his life, David frequently had to flee from impending danger. In such Psalms, David expressed his firm belief that God would bring him out of whatever his current peril happened to be. In Psalm 56, for instance, David alluded to his danger when he first appeared before Achish, the king of Gath. At that time, according to 1 Samuel chapter 21, David escaped the Philistine king by feigning insanity, leading Achish to dismiss him. David evidently feared finding himself in the midst of a group whose previous champion, Goliath, David had killed in combat. In other words, David feared the possible revenge of Goliath's countrymen. So David despaired over his position in the midst of the Philistines. In that psalm, he asserted, quote, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee," unquote. He later amplified that statement, adding, quote, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me," unquote. He thereby acknowledged that God had the power to guard him from his adversaries. In his own words, quote, "This I know, for God is for me," unquote. David ended Psalm 56 by promising to praise God's word and to put his further trust in him. He affirmed that God, quote, "has delivered my soul from death," unquote. David then asked God, quote, "Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" unquote. The opening inscription of Psalm 57 indicated that David wrote that chapter when he hid in a cave to escape from King Saul. That event may have referred to the occasion when David concealed himself in the cave Adullam after he initially departed from the king of Gath, an incident recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 22. In Psalm 57, David declared, quote, "I will cry unto God the Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me," unquote. He affirmed his trust in God by writing that, quote, "He shall send from heaven and save from the reproach of him that would swallow me up," unquote. At this juncture, David included the term Selah, as if he wanted his audience to think about the words he had just propounded. David used an extended metaphor to describe the danger he faced. Quote, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword," unquote. David continued by noting that his foes had, quote, "prepared a net for my steps," unquote. Though David did despair over his dangerous situation, he continued to express his confidence that his enemies would fall into their own traps for him. David believed that God would execute judgment on all of those who wronged him. In Psalm 57, David affirmed his own steadfastness. Quote, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." It would have been better for him to have maintained that attitude throughout all of his early travails. As we read in 1 Samuel chapter 27, David's fear of King Saul's vengeance led him, David, to take his armed forces and go over to the side of the Philistines. That decision could have resulted in his having to fight with the Philistines against his own people, the Israelites, in that battle where King Saul lost his life. David concluded Psalm 57 by promising to praise God for his impending deliverance. He again extolled God's mercy and gave glory to God. David might have learned from these earlier experiences that he needed to trust God always. Later in life, he would face perilous situations. In these cases, rather than give way to deception or despair, David placed his entire reliance upon God for deliverance. For instance, David penned the third psalm after he fled Jerusalem. Absalom, his son, had rebelled against him and usurped his throne. The author of 2 Samuel chapter 15 depicted the scenario that ensued. David had to say then, quote, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword," unquote. He feared that his rebellious son would kill him and his adherents, once he captured them. Some of David's former allies, such as his chief advisor Ahithophel, some of David's former allies had already turned against him. Other individuals, such as Mephibosheth, sought to avoid taking sides between David and Absalom. It seemed as though David would not only lose his throne, but his life as well. David began his psalm by describing his situation to God. Quote, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Unquote. One more time David added the term Selah, as though he wanted those who heard his psalm to reflect upon what they had just declared. Nonetheless, David committed his situation to God. He said that God would serve as his shield to protect him. God would function as David's glory, in other words, the center of his being. David described God as, quote, "the lifter up of my head," unquote. In other words, the one who would restore him to his exalted position as king. David wrote, quote, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill," unquote. He had no doubt that God had heard his petition. Moreover, he was confident that God would respond to him. Again, David added the notation Selah. From that point in his psalm, David expressed his assurance that God would grant him security. Quote, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me," unquote. Note that, even while David still fled from Absalom, he considered himself already under God's protection. His next phrase was this, quote, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about," unquote. That assertion served as his declaration of defiance against those who would seek him harm. David combined his petition for deliverance with a statement that God would rescue him from his current peril. He wrote that, quote, "Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly," unquote. David thereby affirmed that God would act on his behalf, fighting with him against his enemies. Psalm 3 thus concluded with this statement, quote, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people," unquote. David wanted the righteous to realize that God would deliver them, too, whenever they faced peril. And for the third time in Psalm 3's 8 verses, David added the conclusion, Selah. Psalm 44, attributed to the sons of Korah, also addressed the subject of divine deliverance. That psalm began by the narrators recounting how God had placed Israel into the land of promise. They called upon God to, quote, "command deliverances for Jacob," unquote. They remarked, quote, "In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah," unquote. However, God seemed to have cast off his people. Nonetheless, they said, the Jewish people did not forget their God. At the end of Psalm 44, the authors cried out, quote, "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression?" Unquote. This narrative gives the impression that the writers felt as though God had abandoned his people. They appealed to God's mercy and asked him to help them in their time of need. The Psalms of Deliverance resulted from people appealing to God to assist them during times of trouble. The authors based their petitions upon two elements, the Jewish people's covenant relationship with God and the depth of God's mercy. At times, these songs seemed like cries of desperation, appealing to God as a last resort. Nonetheless, the authors of these works recognized that only God had the power to deliver them from danger. Contemporary Christians can take the same comfort from these songs. This concludes our current session. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.